Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Bail the whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bant in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit. Outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Band.
Good for the egg shakes and seconds. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.
All right, guys. It is Tuesday night, January 8th, and we are here with this week's, or this year's, first edition of Whiskey Mint Barbecue in the Pit. Thank you guys for joining us. There we go. Still going. We're on the loop. Once again, first show of the year. Glad to have you guys join us. We want to wish you a happy new year. Hope everybody had a safe and happy holiday season. We took the last 2 weeks off. Missed you guys. Hope you're ready to talk some barbecue tonight. We have a really, really good lineup. We're going to start off with Brad Kay from Lang Smokers. Brad was down at the Florida Barbecue Association cook-off this weekend, the Ziggy Dicks down there in Naples. Dana Hillis had told us a few weeks ago when he was on the show about the new contest within a contest that him and Janet were doing, the Battle of Barbecue Junction. So kind of a Chopped-esque Top Chef type of deal. I believe you get 2 hours, unknown ingredients, that type of thing. Everybody cooking off the same cookers, that kind of deal. So Brad won the inaugural Battle at Barbecue Junction this weekend at Ziggy Dicks, and he's going to come on the show, tell us about it, as one of the first guys to do it, talk about some of the things that he went through, what are some of the things where they cooked, what the pantry looked like, all that kind of stuff, see what they dealt with. And then this week, cooking our first contest of the year, that's going to be Jim McCoin's contest we've been talking about on the show the last couple of months, the Cowboys Pig In, Pig Out, St. Lucie Fairgrounds, Fort Pierce, Florida. We will be cooking that. Had planned on going down Thursday night. Of course, work jeopardized that. And looks like we'll be heading down there Friday morning. But looking forward to it. We were fortunate enough to get with Dana early. And we'll be doing the Battle at Barbecue Junction. We're the second match of the day on Friday. I believe it's 6 o'clock. And I'll be going against Thomas of Divine Swine. The first match of the day. Two heavy hitters. You're going to have Forrest Dillmore, Forrest Fine Foods by itself, cooking against the Unknown Militia. And I did see in the very quiet, lots of echo, no sound. Can everybody say all those are correct? All right, chat, let me know. Loud, quiet. Rob Watson says, all good there. Moody Q says, all good. All right, so guys, you may need to do a refresh and come back in. Jim Elser saying good. You guys, if you're having some audio problems, do a refresh and see if that doesn't get you right. See how that goes from there. So, anyway, looking forward to it this weekend. You're going to have Unknown going against Forrest. I did see where there is a rule where you can only have 6 people. So I think Unknown's may be one of the few that's going to make that happen. They may put 6 people in there, so we'll see what happens. That being said, looking forward to it. It's going to be a great contest. Jim came on a couple weeks ago, talked about it. If you're on the fence, you're an FBA cook, or you're down here in Florida and you haven't, you just don't have a chance. You don't have anything going on this weekend. I'm sure if you showed up on Friday, pulled in there, With your money, Jim would take it. But if you're thinking about it, you want to get down there, go check it out. I think it's going to be a great contest. Looking forward to cooking it ourselves. It'll be the first time, so should be a lot of fun. Tonight's lineup, let's talk about it. We're going to start off with Brad Kay. He's going to talk about a battle at Barbecue Junction. Then we're going to move on over to Mike Richter. He's been in the pit a couple of times, pitmaster, Chick Swan, and Bovine. Great guy. As usual, Mike came off of a pretty good 2012 year, has big plans for 2013. We're going to talk to him about some exciting things he has class-wise, et cetera, and also kind of getting ready for his what he kind of calls his southern leg cooking here, you know, Mobile, Hammond, Pensacola, some of those things. I know they're contests that are near and dear to Mike's heart, and so we're going to talk about some of those and what else he has planned for 2013. Then we're going to finish off the show. Kind of we're going to do two great pitmasters at one time. We're going to have Rob Bagby from Swamp Boys on. We haven't talked to Rob in a couple of months, and he just continues to put it on people's asses. And the team that's put it on everybody's ass this year, and that's Three Eyes Barbecue, KCBS Team of the Year. So always good to have Dan Hickson on. Talk about what they're going to do. One of the interesting things is I kind of want to pick Dan's brain about is I know when I talked to him at Pigfest last year, he didn't plan on cooking 31 contests or however many they cooked last year. So I'd really like to understand kind of what was the point where, you know, they've been having good success, and, you know, and him and the guys kind of sat down and said, hey, we got a chance at this thing this year. Let's go get our seven. Let's go get our seven to qualify automatically for the Jack, and then let's also go chase this thing and beat KCBS Team of the Year. I think it's a great feat, especially being a Mid-Atlantic team. There's not, you know, this ain't, you know, Kansas or Missouri or those places where, you know, within 2-3 hours you can catch a KCBS contest 30 weekends out of the year. I mean, these guys put some miles on going out cooking contests and putting up great results. So obviously we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the combination class that Swamp Boys and Three Eyes Barbecue are going to be doing down here in Winter Haven, Florida. We're going to chit-chat about that, understand what you're in for if you drop your dinero on that thing. I think, you know, being a graduate of Rob's initial barbecue class and what we gleaned from it, I can only imagine when you take those two pit masters, put them together, there's going to be a whole lot of learning and a whole lot more serious competitors out there when that weekend's done. A couple things we have coming up in the coming weeks. One of the things, speaking of Rob Bagby, if you're on Facebook, Rob had a good post about Pigfest and the vending at Pigfest this year and it being a 75-25 split. You know, obviously hurts the cooks tremendously. You know, most of us are used to that 80-20 split. I had a chance myself to kind of dig into this a little bit more and talk to some folks. And kind of come to find out that, you know, the way it's all set up, it's, you know, we think of, you know, if you've ever cooked Pigfest, you know the junior league. You know, that's the girls that handle everything, and they bust their ass and plan for this thing year-round. And learning more about the process and kind of how all this is orchestrated, the junior league really has no say-so in these decisions, the big decisions, if you will. What the split's going to be, those kind of things. That all comes from the Pigfest Board of Directors. And Junior League's kind of given, you know, more marching order of, you know, here's the sandbox you're going to play in, here's the rules you're going to go play by, go execute it. Which was something new. I mean, I've cooked Pigfest now. This will probably be the seventh year we have. And I didn't know that. I just always thought it was kind of a Junior League thing. They made all the rules. If they wanted to color outside the lines, they colored outside the lines. And that's definitely not the case. So I thought that was very interesting. I wanted to pass it on. Also, we're going to have Megan West and Leslie Norman from Pigfest on the show the Tuesday before Pigfest, educating us a little bit more on the contest and obviously for all you folks that are going to be competing in it, any last-minute things, you know, that type of stuff, things that will be going on that weekend. But always look forward to it. You know, I mean, it's a staple of Lakeland. It's a staple in the KCBS, and just doesn't get much better. We get to see a lot of our friends down here in our part of the country that we don't get to see year-round. So they're going to be coming up the next to last Tuesday in January, and then the last Tuesday in January, pretty excited, going to have Harry Sue on the show from Slap Your Daddy Barbecue. Got a ton of stuff. Want to ask Harry. You know, he just got done doing that. If you followed it on Facebook, just went out to Austin and cooked it and ate it, the majority of the restaurants there in Texas that are known for good barbecue. You know, Harry also, I mean, the guy's doing some pretty amazing things. Cooked against him in Las Vegas last year, and the guy goes out there against some of the top pit masters in the country and wins grand championship cooking on one 18.5-inch Weber Smoky Mountain. So let's say what you want to. The guy's a heck of a cook. You know, he's doing some really interesting things with his cooking classes and some different things. So looking forward to having Harry on the show and getting to chit-chat with him. Also, tonight, one of the things I want to remind you of is we will be doing a giveaway sponsored by TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. We'll be giving away a one-pound bag of Three Eyes barbecue rub. We will be doing that, and so I want you to tune in and pay attention to that. Probably do it during the Three Eyes segment, and probably going to make you utilize a new tool out there. You may want to make sure you have it up and ready for when the question comes, but if I was you, I'd go ahead and pull up one of my windows on my browser to compbbq.com. I will tell you that compbbq.com is going to definitely help you get to the answer to score that one-pound bag of Three Eyes barbecue rub whenever we decide to do it. So that's the one hint I'm going to give you for tuning in early to the show. A couple more things before we get over to Brad K. One of the things that I was really excited about to start off the new year was my new Southern Bread smoker. We talked about it on the show with Adam Norman a couple weeks ago, the new model, the Grand Champion. Five racks, four of them, I would say, are we put a fifth rack in there. It's kind of the way we've got it positioned to where the fire comes out of the gravity fed. It's kind of, you know, when me and Adam talked about it, I said, as a competition cook, you know, having cooked a lot of contests, I said, it never hurts to have an oh shit rack. The oh shit rack being, we're behind, need to get things caught up, it's going to run a little bit hotter than the rest of the pit, that type of thing. So if you count the oh shit rack, we have five racks in it. If you count the racks that I think are very well tuned with the rest of the cooker, you've got four. They each rack holds a double pan, so definitely with ease you can cook a contest, two briskets, four butts, you know, even if you wanted to, six slabs of ribs, and you know, however much chicken you wanted to. Definitely capacity is not the problem on the chicken side. So I like it. It's a cooker that like you said, you can cook a whole contest on. Looking forward to cooking on it this weekend. I've got about four or five test cooks in. It's cooked really nice. A couple changes that we made. Actually, you know, it's got the built-in draft system on it, but we did add a toggle button for fan on, fan off. And through my test cooks, what I found is whenever I open the door, I'll go ahead and toggle the fan off. What I like about it is I can toggle the fan off, and instead of, you know, in the older insulated cookers I had, I would have to go grab my stuff off of it really quick, because if I did my work with the door open on the cooker, once I closed it, once it came back, it was going to spike, it was going to go up. So what I like about this is toggle the air off, get in there, and instead of having to hustle to get your brisket out and then wrap it, I do it all right there on the rack. I pull the rack out, you know, wrap my brisket, you know, put whatever mop or, you know, et cetera you want in there, get it all foiled up, push the rack back in, close the door, turn the fan back on, and she's going to be right back at temperature within 2 to 3 minutes, and she's not going to spike on you. So I really like that feature. Made just a couple different changes as far as just little small things that you probably never notice if you hadn't been involved in the design of it. But that's one of the main ones that sticks out to me. So Grand Champion model right now, $3,800. That's all in. It's got the casters, whatever paint color you want, ready to go. You pick it up and it's ready to go. The back porch, made a couple of changes to it. You know, always fine tuning. It's $2,500 if you're interested in that. If you don't cook a ton of meat, you can cook a whole contest on it. I would definitely say you can get away with a brisket, two butts, three slabs of ribs, and 24 pieces of chicken on the back porch. If you're looking for something a little bit smaller, same deal. $2,500 right now, introductory price. We're really surprised at how many we've been moving. Really happy with it. And that's going to also be your own paint color and the heavy duty casters on it. Also, for those out there, we are looking at dealers right now, where we've had a couple of inquiries about folks wanting to carry these. And one of the things that we have realized is when you have a new line like this, you need to work with your dealers and make it a little bit easier for them. So one of the things we're going to be doing is offering 90 days same as cash. So, you know, if you want a back porch and a grand champion for your show, for your store, we're going to offer you 90 days to move that unit before the payment's due for it. So if you're interested in that, reach out to me at whiskeybentbbq@gmail.com or on Twitter or Facebook at whiskeybentbbq. All right, with that being said, I'm going to go over and jump over here to Brad K. Brad, how's it going, man? Long time no talk.
It's going great, brother. How are y'all tonight?
Hey, man, doing real, real well. Getting ready to, looking forward to seeing you guys this weekend and getting down there and cooking our first contest of the year with old Jim McCoy.
That's right. I actually came home this week. We'll be heading out Thursday morning for the Cowboys annual cook party at the restaurant there. And I know you're going to hate to miss that, free alcohol and all, but...
Man, absolutely. Well, and if you know Jim, man, Jim's always going to throw a good party. That's just the way he does things. You know, it's always a good time, and the guy's, you know, one of the most hospitable folks you'll ever meet.
Yeah, I think I'm about the only one from South Carolina that comes down to FBA events real regular. I mean, we did 8 or 9 of them last year, and I've been a part of a great family of guys that, you know, go to these competitions and whatnot. You know, Jim's one of the first guys I met. He was the first FBA event I ever did, and he's taken real good care of me ever since I met him.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about this weekend, Ziggy Dicks. You know, you were one of the teams in Dana's new kind of contest within a contest, the Battle at Barbecue Junction. And before we get into the particulars of the, you know, both of your throwdowns, if you will, let's talk a little bit about, you know, when Dana was on the show, Dana talked a lot about wanting to make sure it was something that brought people out that may not come to a barbecue competition. You know, it was something with some excitement, bring in some local celebrities, radio guys, this and that to judge it. How do you think, as far as it going over, do you feel like even it being the first one that we got some of that across?
Definitely. We had Ray Lampe there judging Friday night. He wasn't there Saturday. He couldn't make it there Saturday, but, you know, he had some good celebrity judges. A lot of the crowd was involved. You know, they announced it a lot over the stage, over the intercoms and whatnot. And, you know, I think we weren't even supposed to be a part of it. After the cooks meeting at 5, of course, Matt pulled up. Matt was supposed to be in it. He pulled up about 5:35.
That's Matt Barber. Probably didn't have a damn thing prepped on 2 wheels.
Yeah. And he hadn't even hooked his trailer yet. And, you know, Dana asked us if we would help him do it. And, you know, I could tell by looking at Matt, he didn't really want to mess with it right now. You know, he was, so me and Cody stepped up. I tried to get Cody to call in tonight, actually. My man Cody, I don't know if you met him yet or not.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know, Obama only gives him the minutes at the very first of the month. And by about the 5th or 6th, he's already out of minutes. He's on the phone a good bit, so. he's not able to call in tonight, but we'll get him. We gotta get him on around the first of the month. We'll get him on back on the show, I believe.
Sounds good. So, you guys are truly walking into this thing blind. Then y'all hadn't planned on doing it. So about 10 minutes before the first duel, you guys show up over there and find out what you got yourselves into.
Yeah, I had checked out the area. He's got a 10 by 10 up, you know, and. We kind of checked it out a little bit, not much, and you know, everything went really smooth though. Dana pulled it off perfectly. Everything was on time, and he pulled it off real good.
So, what did they have there for you under that 110 by 10? What did you have to cook on?
We had a Fast Eddie's 500, which is a really, really mean cooker. I like
yep.
that Fast Eddie's 500, and that's, you know. I'm a Lane guy. I'm a stick burner guy. I've got a pellet grill at home, but I really like that Fast Eddie's 500. I'd like to add one of those to my arsenal.
Now I believe that's the one that I saw that I saw that they had out in Vegas this year. And I believe that's the one that kind of has that hot spot on the left. If you you want to get real hot with it, but then you can also kind of do some slower grilling, if you will, over on the right hand side. Am I right there, Brad?
Yes, you are. It's got an 8-inch grate over there on the left side with a smaller door too. And the dash pot is directly under it. It's got a little diverter over top of it, of course. But yeah, it's got a good sear side for steaks and whatnot. So
nice.
Little 2-zone pellet cooker. We had a big green egg. We had a Dutch oven station. He had 2 chimneys lit, and you know our Dutch oven. And we also had a Meadow Creek char grill. Also, so we had 4 cookers there. And you know, you mentioned earlier about Team Unknown, 6 people. Swinos we faced Saturday. They also had 6 people. And I don't see how they moved underneath that tent because you got a lot of stuff underneath that 10x10.
Oh, sure.
Green egg tent. You know, if I was them, you know, my strategy would be if I had a large team, you know, I would cut it down to 2 people.
Yep.
Because you got 2 tables to work off of. You got a little small cabinet there with a little butcher block top, little stainless steel table. It's got a lot of supplies on the bottom of it. You don't bring nothing but your thermopin, and, you know, if you want to bring a couple special knives that you like to use, that's all you bring with. So, you know, keep it simple. Keep it simple from the start.
So, you know, when you get there, you know, you check it out. You don't have any idea what meat you're going to cut or cook. When you got to the first one, what was it you were challenged with basket wise?
We had a cooler. The cooler had a lot of course, cold goods in it. You know, I opened it up and first thing I see is buttermilk. I'm like, what the world? And you know, we got to make a dessert. A main dish, a appetizer, and a side. You get 2 bags of dry goods, and you got a cooler full of cold stuff, and that cheese in there. Hamburger meat was the main meat that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that out. You know, I got everything out of my cooler, got everything out of my bags, laid it out on the table, came up with a plan, and you know, you're better off. Everything that you don't plan on using, of course, put up, get it out of the way. And we made a redneck meatloaf, which is something I make a lot, where you just take a big loaf of meatloaf and put it on the grill. I cooked it to about 160 degrees, 165 degrees internal. I served it over a bed of sliced potatoes and onions.
Oh, that sounds good.
And we had mushrooms in there. Mushrooms, cream cheese, had a little bit of sausage, had plenty of other cheeses. We had like a can of cherries, some flour, we had a cake mix, we had cake icing, we had sugar, plenty of spices, a couple of bottles of barbecue sauce and everything else. But we made the hamburger steak with the potatoes and onions underneath of it. I put a little seasoning on them, cooked everything pretty much on the Fast Eddies and the green egg. We did some stuffed mushrooms with sausage and cream cheese. I browned the sausage real quick, mixed it up with the cream cheese, add a little spice to it, stuffed the mushrooms. Threw them on there with some Swiss cheese on top of those. They turned out excellent, too, man. It was really, really good. I love making stuffed mushrooms. And there was a bag of yellow rice in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow rice is one of my favorite foods. I serve it at all my catering jobs, and I'm used to catering on a budget because I've usually done spent a deposit by the time I get there, so I had to come up with some good food pretty cheap. But everybody loves yellow rice, man, up here. They have been introduced to it, and I chopped up a couple mushrooms, a couple onions, threw it in there in my yellow rice, wrapped it up, a little bit of butter. Put on the top shelf of that Fast Eddie's, which has a top shelf of a whole 2 small pans also.
Mm-hmm.
And we threw that plate together, threw it out there in front of Ray. You know, I let the Bones Brothers go first. Bones Brothers is he's a full-out chef. He made a real pretty plate. And, you know, we did our turn-ins, and you're actually able to present to the judges, tell them what you cooked, how you cooked it, what you cooked it on. And then we walked away and let them do their thing, but you know, there's one very important tip I'll give you, and everybody doing it. You know, there's always a table captain sitting at this thing, at the judging table. So, it's worth the effort to make four plates. Cause, you know, grandma's the only one that sit there and watch people eat. You know, you don't want nobody. You want everybody at that table eating. You know, even in competition turn-ins, you know, you want everybody at that table eating and happy. So we also turned in a plate for the table captain, which was a little extra step that we did to make that table captain happy, because he's like, man, I didn't get to eat the other one. You know, so we fixed him a plate real quick. You know, I would definitely go ahead and add that to the schedule.
No, that makes sense. I'm taking some notes right now.
So Friday night they do the award show, and they announced the winners because they had two teams. Sweet Smoke was in there. I really wish it would have been me and Sweet Smoke in the final round. I've seen Swinos around. I don't know them all that well. They look like they're a blast to hang out with, but I really wanted to be in there with Sweet Smoke and really give him some hell during the final round. But it was me and Swinos. So they announced the winners for that Friday night. So the next day, brother, if you make it on, I mean, going over there at 2:30, that was rough, buddy.
Oh, I bet.
Knowing you had to cook for another 2 hours. And I was a little dehydrated. You know, I didn't really have nothing to drink all day. You know, we've been doing the comp stuff, and I had a pretty hectic cook. So that final round, I mean, you're thinking about that while you're slicing that brisket, buddy. Let me tell you.
Yep.
Because 2:30, we get back over there, and, you know, once again, we bring our knives, we bring our thermopin, just a few. We brought gloves, of course, bring gloves with you, because, of course, they had some, but there was some little plastic things. And we just, you know, got another cooler and a steak dinner. Still had the potatoes and onions in there. Still had my mushrooms in there. Had a little bit different rice, but that's okay. And Swinos was over there. They had six guys over there working their ass off, man. They was making lobster bisque, and they was doing – one lobster tail was in there. But we – I got my buddy Jim. Jim makes an excellent cranberry drink. And Jim Elser came to the rescue. He had us a wonderful cranberry vodka drink. I actually drank four of those during the throwdown. So that helped, I believe. but we did a steak dinner. You know, Dana was worried about us because we didn't do anything. We just we were just hanging out, and, you know, I had my little plan what I was going to do. I need, you know, 4 minutes to cook a steak because I had that green egg up about 900 degrees. And we threw a plate together. We did a cowboy steak plate with the potatoes and onions under it again. But we had that lobster tail, and we did some stuffed mushrooms with the lobster tail and the cream cheese there. And, you know, we did it again. We won a coin toss to who turns in, and we turned in last. But, you know, we did the same rice. We had to do a cherry cobbler this time because we had cherry. But we did that in the Dutch oven, and we did an apple crisp in the Dutch oven Friday night. And, you know, Jim kept bringing those drinks, man. We was back there. You know, I didn't want to smoke in the area, so we'd step around back and have a liquor drink and smoke a cigarette. And Dan would be coming over, you know, 45 minutes left, and, you know, there wasn't nobody in our area. We was out back having a good time. So make sure you have a good time at it, because that didn't hurt a bit, because Dana was surprised we won. But like I said, I'm a caterer. You know, I have to do some last-minute stuff, and I work better under pressure for a little bit of time. He had an hour 45 minutes Saturday. But like I say, Dana was worried about us because we spent a lot of time drinking. Honestly, I have never – because it's over at 4:30, and the awards are at 5. And I've never been that tore up at a FBA award show. So it was all I could do. My mama was there, too, and I usually don't drink from my mama, but my mama was there, and I had to help her up on the stage. And it was a mess. I was pretty intoxicated, thanks to Jim. Sweet Smoke, I appreciate them drinks, buddy.
That's too funny. I'll tell you what, man, Jim Elser's always a very hospitable man, and it was good to see when he saw a brother down needing a little pick-me-up that he took care of you boys. I would expect nothing less out of Mr. Jim there.
But it was a great time, and Dana really, really pulled it off. He did great with it. I didn't expect nothing less, but, you know, I figured the first time around there'd be a little hiccup or something, but, you know, Dana pulled it off, and it was a fun event. And like I say, bring your drinks with you, or just wait on Jim to bring you one. So, and have fun doing it. It's a really fun thing to do.
Sounds good, man. I may have to do that. It sounds like those drinks at Jim's may be lucky. So if we're fortunate enough to make it to Saturday, may have to let old Mr. Elser bartend for us.
That's right. I'll bring the vodka. He just brings the cranberry and mixes them for you. I'll bring the vodka. I'll be right
good,
there
man.
Cheering you on, buddy. Cheering you on.
Well, hopefully we make it that far. We're gonna try to pull something together there and cook something decent. So it'll be interesting to see what's in the basket and what we can do with it. So, looking forward to it. So what else you got going on, Brad? As we kind of wrap up here, I mean, I know you're cooking down at Cowboys this weekend. You doing anything between that and Pigfest?
No, I hadn't.
Okay.
I'm kind of playing week to week, so there ain't no telling. I got three events already. We're doing in February. We did 42 events last year.
Good Lord.
You know, when we start in FBA in January, and you know, I wish Dundee we hit Dundee last year, but then Dundee's no more this year, so we're just gonna come back, and we plan on being there for Pig Fest. So
excellent. And you doing Frank's the following weekend?
Yes.
Excellent. That sounds good. Well, we'll definitely see you this weekend, and then at both of those, and then
we're doing Pig Fest, and what's the next weekend?
Frank, Smoke on the Water, Winter Haven.
I hadn't signed up for that yet. Isn't that one real hard to get into?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to talk to some of my barbecue brothers and see if we can get in there. But yeah, I'll cook it. I want to do that Haines City Rib Fest too. So.
Well, that'd be good. Haines City's always a good contest. Good area, and the folks there at the Parks and Recreation Department always take
good
care.
Thank you so much for having us on tonight. You know, just one more shout out to Dorsey O'Dell. I've actually got the radio show song on my phone, and we cranked it up a couple times for you this weekend in Naples and jammed it out, you know, the party trailer. So,
awesome, man.
Hearing some Dorsey over the loudspeakers. So
I love it, brother. I appreciate you listening every week, and good luck, but not too good luck to you this weekend. And we'll see you on Friday.
All right, brother. Y'all have a great night.
All right, take care, Brad. Thanks again. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Brad K. Lang Smokers, the first ever champion of the Battle at Barbecue Junction. Congrats. And it sounds like Dana and Janet did just a heck of a job. I wouldn't expect anything less out of them. They're always first class and always trying to do the right thing for the cook teams. So that is a really awesome, good to hear about. Sounds like everybody had a blast. Looking forward to jumping in there against Thomas from Divine Swine this Friday night and taking a run at it. So real quick, I'm going to give you a little bit of music. I'm going to make a couple changes here on the setup. So I want to, I'm just looking for something to turn on here for just a second so I can do that. Cause if not, it'll sound pretty horrible and dead airs, no fun at all. So here's just some Jimmy Buffett for just a second. Be right back.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered in oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, hey, they're beginning to boil. Wasted away again in Margaritaville, searching for my
to make those changes. I think we'll sound a little louder and clearer here for the rest of the night. So appreciate you guys tolerating that little one-minute deal there. Before we go over to Mike Richter, the always hospitable Craig Sherry in the house, Texas Pepper Jelly, and he came to me here a couple minutes ago and said told me he just put us in a, always being a great sponsor of the show, just put in a little deal for you that are listening, special offer, through Saturday at midnight. Get your pens out. So it's going to be 20% off to all listeners. Minimum purchase of $10, and it applies just to the jelly and the rib candy, which is what I usually go for, man. Already, I was packing up supplies this weekend and got my rib candy and my pepper jelly in my bag ready to go. Guys, we talked about it before. The stuff's great on all four categories. It's worked, and it's been worked on all four categories, and has won on all four categories. So, and if you haven't tried it already, you need to. If you're already using it, go out there and get 20% off. So 20% off through Saturday at midnight. $10 minimum applies to rib candy and jelly. And the promo code, real easy, whiskey with an E. W-H-I-S-K-E-Y. Once again, thanks, Craig. Appreciate you always supporting the show. He's already tested it. It is confirmed. It's ready to rock and roll. So $10 minimum. Jelly and rib candy, code whiskey through Saturday at midnight. Thanks, sir. All right, with that being said, let's pull up good buddy Mike Richter here.
Hey, Chad.
Mike, how's it shaking, brother?
Oh, not too bad. Nothing can be bad when it comes to whiskey, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I completely agree. So how'd the holidays treat you and the family?
Well, we've had a very calm weather-wise winter, and outside of fighting a little bug here and there, we're all doing really well.
Well, you know, the other thing is, I mean, you got to be good. I mean, your Ravens moved into the divisional playoffs this weekend.
That's a good thing, you know, and we sold our season tickets 2 years ago because we were missing all the games because of barbecue, and it would have been nice to have been at that game last weekend for Ray's last game. But we'll see. Denver's going to be tough, you know. We'll see whether or not they can keep the momentum. They handled us pretty good when they were in our house. Of course, Flacco didn't help with his interceptions. We're getting ready to drive in. But we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be tough for sure.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, and we're going to have a little football talk before we get into barbecue talk, because you know what, it's me and you talking, and I'm sure they'll still listen. I think the majority of you guys out here are football fans anyway. I think this could end up being, I mean, obviously to Ravens fans, you know, this next game is going to mean a lot just because, you know, nobody wants to see the curtain called on, you know, probably the best linebacker, I would say, in the last 20 years easily to play the game. You know, nobody really wants to see that curtain fall. And the other thing is, I mean, has Flacco been a good, solid quarterback? Yes. But, you know, I mean, Trent Dilfer has a ring, and Flacco doesn't have one yet. You know, so I think it's going to be one of the things, too, that's going to define him as, you know, one of those guys. Is he going to move up into the Roethlisberger and that level of, you know, when the game's on the line, being able to come through in the clutch? Or is he going to be, you know, is he going to be one of those guys that's just a real good regular season quarterback, and when the big game comes, you know, tends to have some issues?
Well, that's I'm hoping not, but it reminds me of the way everybody talked about Eli.
Yep.
Eli wasn't getting any, and he made some bonehead plays just like Flacco has. But the Giants also had LT in the last 20 years too, so that's a damn good linebacker too.
Yeah, well, that's very true. That's very true.
But we're gonna have to wait and see.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, can that defense slow down Manning? I mean, who would have thought? That guy was going to come off the injury he had just to – and I'm a Peyton hater, man. That's all the way back to my Gator roots and his Vol roots. I mean, believe me, the last thing I want to do is pat Peyton Manning back. But when the guy has a year like that, I mean, you've got to give him credit where credit's due. I mean, he's had a hell of a season.
It's amazing. I mean, his brain – I was listening to something on NFL Network or the radio on Sirius, and they were talking about football or any other sport, 70% mental and 30% God-given talent. Well, Peyton is definitely using 70% of the mental, where sometimes I think Flacco might be at the 50%.
Yep.
He just, you know, he lives it, eats it, breathes it, kind of like the way Ray, you know, does. Hopefully we'll see. I mean, Peyton has owned the Ravens.
Yep.
I mean, it's, and that was always a big thing when he was coming back from Indianapolis to, you know, with the Colts and moving out in the middle of the night and everything out of Baltimore. But he just, you know, just owned us. I mean, what, the last time they beat us with 5 field goals. But it's just, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, he's got the, he's made those players around him, which were obviously good. You know, they got to the playoffs last year with their different style with, you know, Tebow and everything, but they still got there. They've got a great defense. Champ Bailey is a hell of a player. He wants a ring, you know, so they've only got a handful of people that have playoff experience compared to what the Ravens have, but it's still, it's their house. You know, you got the altitude to deal with. It's a short week for the Ravens.
Yep.
Because they played Sunday, but you know, it's the playoffs. You got, you know, you can't, you got to leave everything on the field. So.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, and I think they will. I mean, the one thing you look at is, I mean, they're both pretty solid veteran teams. You know, I mean, these are guys that have some experience. It's not like, you know, you're rolling in, you know, with a bunch of rookies that you're heavily leaning on. So I think it's going to be a heck of a game, and I think it's one of those that's probably going to boil down to execution and turnovers. Like most of the games this time of year when you've got such, you know, two strong teams.
Yeah, well, the one thing that might be in the Ravens' favor, if they can feed off of it, is the fact that all the prognosticators are saying that, you know, Baltimore doesn't have a chance. So, you know, if that fuels them up enough to where they can make that extra effort, and you got to be a man to block Anquan Boldin. I mean,
I'll tell you what, man, that guy just threw up a hellacious game last week. He was unstoppable.
Yeah, he didn't have any receptions in the first half, and that one over his head, you know, kind of looked like Willie Mays going back for a, you know, pass. But then that one in the end zone, you know, that guy's arm's right in there. You know, that's a big boy out there. And Anquan just said, "Well, I'll just go down with your arm in here and hand the ball."
Exactly, and retains possession. I mean. I remember watching that over and over, and I was like, damn, man, he didn't bobble it. He decided, I'm going to take that ball, and if I rip your arm off with it, I guess that'll come too, you know?
I was talking to a friend today. It's kind of like, you know, Michael Irvin was that way. I mean, he was so strong.
Yep.
He got his arms on the hands on the ball. It was, you know, he's going to hang on to it. And then they can take a hit too.
Oh, absolutely. And they're not one of those guys peeking when they got to go over the middle. That you know, they're worried on catching the ball, and you know, if they take a hit, well, you know, some of those safeties, it's going to hurt them just as much as it's going to hurt the receiver.
Yeah, well, of course, the way the game's changing, going over the middle is not near as dangerous as it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the thighs or below, and if it's too low on the thighs, then that's below the knee.
Yeah, so. it seems to be, but.
Well, I know you guys got to be heartbroken about losing Ray, and I'll tell you, I mean, we. Down here, I mean, we had the pleasure of watching Ray, you know, play high school football. And even at that point, I mean, he graduated from the same high school as me 2 years beforehand. And even at that point, man, the guy was just kind of a man amongst boys. You know, you go back and look over some of the highlight films of him in high school, and that was just absolutely ridiculous. It's going to be interesting to see how he does with retirement, because I'm sure it's definitely within his character to you know, after he gets done enjoying, you know, his family, to be on some pregame show somewhere, and I'm sure he'd be entertaining as hell.
Well, I believe he's signed up to, or they're really close to finalizing a deal with ESPN for the Monday night game, so that way he can watch his son play on Saturdays.
Oh, that's cool. That's actually a real nice deal. So,
it's time, I met Joe Frazier at a hotel in Loretto, Pennsylvania a long time ago. And, you know, not that boxing is the same as football, but that still blows to the head.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with all the concussion issues and stuff, you know, I'd hate to see Ray end up babbling like Joe Frazier did.
No. And, yeah, it is, because you see these guys that are, you know, that you have this huge, you know, they're kind of on a pedestal because what they've accomplished athletically. But then, you know, you kind of see him in a one-on-one environment, and you're kind of like, man, dude, this guy really, you know, paid the toll for this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, granted, you know, do they make too much, in my opinion? Oh, yeah. But yeah. You know, what's your life worth afterwards? But still, you know, I've always joked, you know, I want a $2 million lottery. I'd be set. I don't need one of these 100 million ones, you know.
No, I totally agree with you. I can show you a pretty simple investment plan with a little $2 or $3 million lottery clearance that'll keep you right for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Keep me in a new coach every couple of years and life would be good.
Man, that's a great transition to barbecue and your coach this year. Man.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you can always know when you're cooking a contest with Mike Richter is that beautiful coach is gonna roll in with that impeccably cleaned Jambo. And, man, that thing left you on the side of the road more times this year than you can shake a stick at.
Oh, I'm glad 12 is over. I mean, we had a decent year. We were top 50 in almost everything but chicken, which that's kind of funny. The previous 4 or 5 years, we were top 25. So, but, you know, flavors changed a little bit, and it started hitting at the end of the year. We made some changes. But, thank God for warranties. I ended up putting new injectors in the coach, which seems to have stopped a problem that's continuous. So it's running now. It's getting a little bit better fuel mileage. The only thing I can think of talking to the so-called experts and stuff, I had always replaced the bearings myself, and that wasn't, you know, for the people out there cooking on any type of trailer. You know, you got to pack your bearings, and you got to replace your bearings if you're doing any kind of miles. You know, now we do a lot of miles, you know,
yep.
And we're not the only one out there doing, you know, a boatload of miles. But we would replace them annually, and I would repack them. And I repacked the ones, I put new ones on towards the middle of 11. And I don't know, and I packed them early on in 12. And, you know, 20,000 miles later, I should have packed them before I went to the Royal. That was, I'll take credit for that, I guess. But some way that cap came off and burned that wheel bearing up and the hub and everything else. But the guy that came and fixed it, what everybody's talking to me, must have over-tightened it or something. And I did learn, which I wasn't doing. I had my own little way of doing. You know, you got to seat your bearings, so you need to get them tight and then back off a little bit with that nut
right
before you put that pin in, that cotter pin in. And everybody's thinking he just over-tightened them and left them that way. But for the axle I've got, in which are on all of JB Gear's pits, are those Dexter 3500s for the tow behinds, anyway, the J3 and the J5s, and probably the economy model, is they need to torque that, when they're putting new bearings in, torque it down to 50 pounds pressure, and then back it off one turn, and then go to tighten it to where that lines up for the cotter pin, and that'll seat the bearings.
It's funny you brought this up. Me and my teammate Jared just talked about needing to repack our bearings. We're definitely overdue, and we're like, look, we're cooking Lakeland and Winter Haven, which is, you know, real close to the house. But before we make that next jaunt over to Popka, that's a couple hours. We need to make sure we got those things done. So that was timing. That was divine intervention, I think, there, Mike.
Well, I know you're going this weekend. You probably don't have time, but you're not cooking the weekend in between
No.
in Lakeland, right?
No.
I'm all for preventive maintenance. I'd be there and do them before you went to Lakeland. And
yep.
If you do have any issues, you know, it'd be close. I mean, we had them replaced at even the Royal. We weren't 10 miles from Kemper Arena. And came home, went down to Lynchburg, and came back, and I took off for Cumming, Georgia, and fueling up. And the guy walks up, he goes, you know, you're about to lose your wheel. I said, what? And it was the same axle.
Wow.
So that was, I got to Cumming, Georgia 6 hours late.
Whew.
But, hey, we
nothing like starting a little bit behind now, is it?
Yeah, well, that's one good thing about trying to get there on Thursday.
Yep.
But I had some good friends, Mo and Susie from Big Mo from Mayho, that with dinner plans and stuff, but they were nice enough to wait for me to get there. So it worked out in the end, you know, and everything happens for a reason, right?
Absolutely, man. So you got the coach all souped up. Now I know when you do make it down here to Lakeland, you usually just bring the truck and the rig and the Jambo. Is it on the calendar? Is it confirmed? I mean, we're gonna have a Mike Richter sighting here at the end of the month.
Spoke with the wife yesterday, and I think I'm gonna go ahead and sign up tomorrow morning. So,
excellent,
you know,
because that's good, because I was talking to Megan last night, and she's like, yeah, we still hadn't heard from Mike yet. I was like, look, I'm gonna have him on the show tomorrow night. I said I'm gonna put the hard clothes on him. I'll have him signing up. So it's gonna look good if you call and sign up tomorrow morning. I mean, that's gonna look great.
All right. Well, because this will be my fifth or sixth year down there.
That's pretty awesome, coming all the way from Maryland, that many years in a row. You know, and you know, the nice thing is it kind of gives you a little crank up before you go on that Southern tour that you like so much.
Yeah, I mean, we've 2 years in a row we won Sauce down there and never got out of the chair for anything else. The year that Tuffy got DQ'd,
yep,
and Mark Breen won, and Mid-Atlantic didn't cut GC and reserve because
Hambone.
Yeah, Rick Hamilton got reserved. We had three top 10 calls, and Johnny and Trish were sitting up in front of me, and, you know, the jinx, you never want to congratulate somebody.
Yeah.
And I said, no, Johnny, my pork was bad. He goes, there was no way it was that bad. And I said, oh, yeah, it was. And I don't know how many teams they had that year, 70 or so, and I think I was 48th or 50th in pork, and somebody said, well, you got screwed. And I said, no, I didn't. I got a very kind score. It was bad. I don't know what it was, but it was. I threw it away. Put it that way.
speaking of that curse, and I'm sure he's listening because he's coming on the show in a bit. But old Rob Bagby threw that same curse at Pigfest on us 1 year. We had three called it. You know, three good calls, like, you know, seventh, fifth, sixth. And he said, you know, because I've always been vocal about it, man. I would, being a hometown boy, man, I would rather win Pigfest than the Royal, the Jack, anything. It's that big to me. And man, Rob comes over and he said, you guys won this thing. And I said, I'm not listening to what you're saying. And then, as it seems to happen every year, they call the Governor's Cup, the top Florida team, and shocker, it was Jimmy Brode.
and he won that year.
Oh yeah, he won it. I mean, he's won it. I think he's won it three of the last 4 years. And the year he didn't win it, Mark won it.
Yeah.
So that. But same kiss of death, man. You know, you ended up finishing like, you know, fourth. But same deal. I think if we had a 19th place chicken, we would have won, and we had a, you know, 40 something. But you know, that's why you turn in four categories, man. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's exactly right. You know, you don't have to win each category, but if you go down to Lakeland and get four 10th place calls,
you go win it.
Unless somebody else has got four higher ones, you stand to be walking up there at the end, which would be awesome. What a way to start the year.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, because the year that, depending on how bad you chase the points, I mean, you know, I know you got Dan on later. You know, they had a fantastic year this year. QL won down there that went on a similar tear of the year. He was team of the year.
Yep.
So if you can go down there and with a max point contest and get a win, that's a heck of a way to start the year. And, of course, that's
because you're going to have a lot of the – you know, you'll occasionally get a QL or one of the guys out of the Midwest to come down, but it's not anything like – you know, if you've got True Bud and all those guys out of the Midwest in the middle of the year fighting it out, you know, it's almost like you can sneak in a GC because it's the first contest of the year. Nobody knows if they're going to be in the running or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, to a point. The nice thing about Lakeland, or the bad thing, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I like competing against good teams because then you know how your food's going. And the judges are normally fair down there.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of whacked out scores. The teams down there, you know, granted, there's a lot of Florida teams, but there's still, I mean, you know, QL's been there every year.
Yep.
That I've been. Well, I think he might have missed one. I'm not even sure he did miss that one. But, you know, Wild Bunch has been down there. Laudable, Trig, Tuffy's there almost every year.
Myron.
Myron, Serial Griller. I mean, the teams up towards this end, you know, where I am, there's a lot of competition there. You know, Three Eyes was there last year. Dizzy Pig was there last year. And I did a contest, I won't say where, but down in the South 2 years ago when I was chasing that number seven. And everybody was saying, well, you're just coming down here to try to, you know, sneak one in. I said, no, I need points, and I want to try to get number seven. And there was a lot of teams there, so it would have been a good point total. And they said, well, you just don't face the caliber teams up there that you do down here. And I say that that's wrong no matter what part of the country you're going to. There's so many classes out there now. There's so many. I mean, Tuffy was team of the year up here. That's pretty much, you know, Pitmasters has taken him out of some of the competition. But, you know, he works it in when he can. And when he does, you know, last year he only did a handful of competitions and he's still in the top 25.
No, I completely agree. And to me, that's, you know, and you know, we went up and we like to think of ourselves as decent cooks. And we went up to Rhode Island this year and just got our ass handed to us. And when you look around a contest like that, ton of good cooks, man. You know, you got Chris Hart, Big Bob Gibson was up there. You know, you've got Slednik, Steve Zare. I mean, you know, Lakeside Smokers, which, goodness gracious, anytime they show up somewhere, you know, nobody's going to be shocked if they win it. You know what I'm saying? It's a crazy group anywhere you go.
Well, and we're blessed that we get to go. You know, being retired, that I get to go to quite a few contests. And I've made some fantastic friends, you know, just like yourself. And when you go somewhere, whether it's Shelby, North Carolina, you know, Cumming, Georgia, you go out west, you go to Ohio, South Carolina, you know, Virginia, Pennsylvania, you know, if you're in Indiana, Michigan, it doesn't matter. There are teams there that can win wherever they go in the country.
Yep.
You know, that's, you know, more so than football, any given Sunday, any given Saturday, because most of the contests we do are Friday, Saturday. There are so many teams out there, and there's so many teams that are on the verge of taking that next step, too.
Well, and I think that's one of the interesting things that now kind of with your retirement, it obviously frees up your time a little bit more, and you talk about these teams that are right on the verge. And sometimes it's those classes, whether they be private or you know, a couple guys get together and say, hey, Mike, can we do a two or three team thing? You know, you're not going to sit down with those guys and revamp their whole program, but they're going to pick up on, you know, anywhere from a half dozen to a dozen things that you may do a little bit different than they do. And that's going to be the difference between being a 640, you know, KCBS team and a 660, 670, 680 team, you know?
Well, I think that's it. And, you know, I've been blessed. I'm all for education, not just because that I now offer classes. I still take classes. You don't have to change everything because you go somewhere, but exactly what you said, you're going to pick up something, you know, in most classes, I'd say, you know, that you're going to go to, whether, you know, Rub and Dan, or, you know, the first class I took was Mike and Debbie Davis. And for a new team, they should be taking a class.
Yep.
We learned how to make our boxes look better besides cooking techniques that we didn't know before. And, you know, pretty much most of the top teams that we've been talking about, with the exception of Tuffy, and I'd be first in line whenever, if and whenever he gets the chance to take a class. You know, I'm taking their class, or have taken their class, just because, you know, I'm not changing my profile. One, because, you know, with the exception of Chicken last year, we'd had hit on Chicken a few times. I don't think anybody was going to, outside of Rob McGee, had a chance of really getting Three Eyes.
Yep.
The only reason they had a chance to be caught was because the same thing that happened to us last year. We've got a lot of contests that, you know, like Lakeland's important to you, it's close. Well, you're fortunate. Lakeland's a Max Point contest. We've got several comps around here that we've been going to since they started, and they're not Max Point contests. You know, they're 30 teams. But the 30 teams that are there, with the exception of maybe one or two new ones, we're all friends.
Right.
We break bread together, you know, on Thursday night or Saturday morning we have breakfast. You know, you're cheering because they're all your friends.
Absolutely.
And you look forward to certain contests every year because of, you know, you've seen their kids grow, you know. I was talking with Chris Hall earlier today, that's with Three Eyes.
Yep.
Big Ugly.
Yep.
Back when he was cooking under Big Ugly. And, you know, we were talking about his son, Casey, and I said, well, he's got, what, one more year? He goes, no, he's a senior this year. And I'm like, oh, my God. Well, the young man stepped up in July. He goes to boot camp for the Marine Corps.
Oh, man, good for him.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
This little boy, you know.
You remember talking to this kid about, like, you know, minor league baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, he was a hell of a baseball player. You know, they had to try and juggle competitions with his baseball, you know, which, like a lot of teams do, you know, sacrifices for your kids. Sometimes you can't go barbecue because you've got sporting things, you know. Another
Absolutely.
One is Dan McGrath. You know, both of his boys are awesome baseball players. So
that is too cool. And that's the right thing to do, Mike. I mean, it'd be great to win KCBS a year. There's some bucks with it, but at the end of the day, I mean, you can't turn your back on contests that you've grown that close with. I think at that point, you know, it's really hard to make that decision.
Well, and I, not to get on Sam's case or whatever, you know, the first year they did that, they worked really hard, or supposedly anyway, I like to think they did because I trust the people that told me, worked really hard not to conflict within 500 miles of existing contests. Well, it got bigger. They added more contests, which we all wanted them to do. And with the number of contests, you know, it's tough to try to work a schedule out. Well,
oh sure.
People said, "Why didn't you cook Sam's last year?" Well, we were signed up. We were going to do Greensboro, and a catering came along, which kind of interfered with barbecue several times last year. But money, you know, sure money versus hopeful money.
Absolutely.
And, but the other contest, you know, they had one in Laurel, Maryland. That's 15 minutes from my storage lot, you know. But it was up. It's up against Hedgesville, West Virginia, which is an auto. Which I've been there. I was there the year that it wasn't even a KCBS contest, because it's a beautiful location and bluegrass music, and just it's a great event. They really go out of their way to, you know, make things happen. Well, there was another one that was up. I think it was Pleasantville, New Jersey, or Pittsburgh. Was up against Bel Air, Maryland. And I've been there all but 2 years. Had some family issues, so we couldn't go a couple times. But, you know, their existing they were here before Sam's Club. And they'll be here as long as the teams can support them.
Sure.
And they did see drops in numbers last year. And I don't blame the folks that went and did the Sam's Club.
Right.
That's the lure of big money. You know, I made that drive to Bentonville the first year, and we're talking about, I know the registration's tomorrow. We're looking, and I'm probably going to go ahead and sign up for the Laurel contest because it conflicts with another competition in Maryland, so we're torn. But it's, you know, a couple-hour drive versus a 15-minute drive, and one of the downsides of being close to home, which you know, I try to get into a zone when I'm at a contest.
Mm-hmm.
When you're close to home,
it's hard.
You have a lot of people there.
Yep.
And I have no problem people coming at 1:35.
Sure.
But you tell them to be there after 1:30, and they're there at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right. I always tell them to come after 1:30, and I'll feed you to try to entice them.
Yeah, you know, bring some buns or whatever. And we've got some friends that, you know, will do that. And that's we love seeing them there, you know, and they are our friends. But, you know, we're there to try to concentrate on the barbecue, and, you know, we want to see them there. There are times that there's more than just, you know, Barbara and I, or Chris or Paul and I. You know, Dylan comes whenever he can. But you're talking about team members that help.
Absolutely.
And they're not in the way.
Right. Well, and that's the other piece is they know what's going on at that point. So they know they know when a good time to shoot the bull is and when a good time to shoot the bull isn't, you know?
Right.
No,
you know,
that's one of the things I push
so hard. And I've gained from watching, you know, friends, whether it's, you know, Johnny Tuffy or whatever. You know, I was fortunate enough to cook with Tuffy in Tennessee or at Memphis in May when he won shoulder. You know, you got to be focused on what you're doing. You know, the professor takes it all serious, and you know, you have to while you're there, and then enjoy and relax and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, I completely agree with you. I completely agree. So real quick, Mike, while we wrap up, talk a little bit about you've got that Southern Tour. And you've got some kind of open dates there for folks that if they're interested, you know, kind of in more of a private or reduced size class. How do people get a hold of you about that? You know, what do you got to offer? Some of that information.
Well, I'm going to Kentucky next month and giving a class, and then I come back and I actually think I'm going to take the motorhome up to the factory and get a couple things done to it I've been holding off on, and then I'll leave. I'll be in Pensacola the 1st and 2nd for the Pensacola Smoking on the Square, and then we'll go to Mobile, which is just right there, you know, 60 miles away, if that. And then I was going to go up to Tupelo, but I think I'm going to go back and chill out in Pensacola that weekend. And I did a private class in Pensacola last year, and that's on the 15th and 16th of March. And then we'll leave for Hammond and Slidell. And that's if somebody's wanting to do it on a weekend. You know, I'm almost always available during the week to do it. I just need to make sure that I have time to clean my pit and get all my stuff ready for an upcoming contest. But, I mean, they can hit me up at on Facebook, or they can send me an email at mwr7901@aol.com. And Facebook, we're pretty, but there's a lot of folks that are on Facebook anymore, so that's an easy way to do it. And I don't, you know, do a whole lot of advertising and stuff on the classes, but, you know, we do the private classes. We can do group classes if some people want to get together and do it. And I have a location in Pensacola where I can do it. If there's, you know, multiple people. If they want to come to a contest, they need to send me a message because that's going to cost more money.
Sure.
And that's somebody, and I've done that a few times.
Okay.
They can you know, hit me up on Facebook or mwr7901@aol, and we can talk and see. But you know, everybody, you know, always wonders or whatever. But I'm not going to. It's not a technique class. It's exactly how we do what we do.
Right.
And, you know, we can talk about what you used to do and everything else. That's fine, and I have no problem because a lot of us are fairly similar in what we're doing. We just have different rubs and different techniques on, you know, how we trim versus seasoning and setting the boxes up and all that good stuff. But the spices I use, the people I get it from, you know, I've got their contact information for the teams, you know, that come. So, and if anybody questions, they can always come and look in my spice cabinet in the coach if they come to the class to see if there's something different.
I like that. A little guarantee. That's pretty cool.
And I guess I'd have to say it's kind of like, you know, Mike and Debbie's class or Rod's or these other Johnny's class. You know, I have no problem talking to the people afterwards because the people that have helped me along the way, you know, if I have questions, you know, and I want to talk about something I've tried or haven't tried, you know, they've been receptive to discussing it with me, so I think that's the right way to approach it. So,
no, absolutely, I completely agree with you, and it's just kind of the right. I mean, it's the right thing to do, especially if you're kind of building a brand for your classes And I can definitely say firsthand, coming on here in a minute, Rob Bagby, he's been that way. You know, if you're going through a struggle, you want to bounce something off of him. If you've been to his class, that's kind of continues on for some time.
Well, let me – I know we got to get off here because I know they're coming on. I don't know if they're listening. But a quick story about Rob Rupp. I was going to Lakeland several years ago, and I was actually working at the prison in Cullman, Florida, the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had the little coach at that time, and I was and I had problems. What was it, where was I going to get meat? I was looking for, you know, someone to throw me a bone on a decent butcher shop or a decent store or something like that. You know, once again, like yourself, Chad, the quality of the people that are down south.
Yeah.
Rupp contacts me and says, what are you looking for? I tell him. He goes, don't worry about it. I'll have it for you. I get down there. He gets there to set up because, you know, he's vending also. I don't know if he's going to
sure.
vend it where they raise the prices and stuff. But he says, okay, here's what we got. He's got, you know, cases of butts, you know, ribs, everything else. And he says, well, pick what you want. I said, no, you take what you're going to cook with, Mike, or Rub. And he says, Mike, there's enough. Get what you want and don't worry about it. I mean, I had met him before down there because, you know, I'd heard the name and I wanted to meet him and stuff. But still, how nice is that of somebody to go out of their way to help somebody?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's a great story about Rub. And actually, I find it very true. I mean, it's one of those guys that, you know, he's been around it for a while, you know, former president of the FBA, and just always, if you need something in a pinch, I mean, he's just one of those guys that'll do it for you.
Well, like I said, and I like cooking in the South. And that's one of the reasons because of we've got great people up here too.
Sure.
But for, you know, somebody to go out online, I went on the Brethren and then to get a message and talk to him and boom, boom, boom. And then it's done. And I don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And man, when you travel like that and for guys that haven't, I mean, it's one of your biggest scare things. I mean, I know this year when we went to Rhode Island, you know, we thought it'd be easy to find butts like we usually like. Man, we must have went to 7 stores and still decided on cooking 2, you know, pretty crappy 7-pound pork butts, you know. You kind of just assume that everybody's got the same infrastructure you have, and sometimes that's just not the case, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I know I need to get off here. I'm going to get on and listen for the rest of the show. So tell Dan and Rub I said hello. And
hey,
one of you need to get out to the banquet. I know I'll see Dan and crew out there. So it'll be a good time. And I will see you in a couple weeks.
Absolutely, man. Safe travels down, Mike. I always appreciate you taking time out to come on the show. Look forward to seeing you here in Lakeland, and go Ravens this weekend.
All right. Thank you, bud.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Bye.
All right, guys. Mike Richter, Chick Swine, and Bovine. Always good to have Mike on the show. We threw in some bonus coverage of mine and Mike's football analysis of this weekend's Ravens versus Broncos, and also a little bit of RV and trailer talk with Chad and Mike. I kind of liked that. It was a good time. So Mike's always a pleasure to have on the show. Once again, you heard it. He said it every time he's been on here, and that's talking about continuing education, always making yourself better, always learning. Speaking of that, before we go over to Rub and Dan, sponsor of our show and a website that I use quite frequently, especially here after a couple-week layoff, went over to pitbullsbbqschool.com. Pitbullsbbqschool.com. That's our buddy Danny Kugel over there. Been on the site now for a couple of months. Really enjoy it. He's got some great videos, and like I said, it's always nice to be able to go back, whether it's doing your practice cooks, whether it's at a contest and you're in a bind, anything of that nature, you can pull those videos up, check it out, and always going to improve your game. So if you're interested, maybe you can't travel, you can't go to all these classes that are available, you're kind of a slave to the job or whatever it may be, you can do it right there from your laptop computer, right there at your house, and that's over at PitBullsBBQSchool.com. All right, let's bring in Dan and Rub. That's Dan.
Yeah,
and
can you hear me?
There's Rub. I hear you, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, dude, always a pleasure. Rub, you there?
I'm here, brother.
Hey, now, how nervous did you get when Mike Richter said, let me tell you a story about Rub?
I trust Mike. He's a good guy. Yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking for
me. The funny part was I thought he said, hey, I have a story about Rub, and this is when I was working at the Coleman, Florida prison. I was like, man, he may have ran across one of Rub's old files or something. I don't know.
No, he was nice. He didn't bring up my prison stint.
How you guys doing tonight?
Awesome. I was getting worried, though. Mike talking about how nice people were in the South, not the Mid-Atlantic, but he covered his ass there.
Hey, he threw you guys a little bone there at the last second, didn't he, Dan?
He did.
Excellent. So, Dan, we'll start with you. You guys came down off that cloud nine yet from what was known as the Three Eyes Barbecue 2012, just barbecue annihilation of all the other teams out there?
I don't even think I'm there yet. I'm still in kind of stunned disbelief. You know, maybe after the KCBS banquet, but I look at those rankings that are still posted on the page, and I just don't believe it.
Well, you know, and Dan, it's one, for those that are listening, and I don't know the date off the top of my head, when is the KCBS banquet? And that's in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks. I think it's the 16th and 17th. I think the banquet's on the 17th, which is the Saturday.
Yep, so yeah, maybe the 19th.
There you go. Not looking at the calendar.
Very good. So you guys will be making the trip. Is it the first time you guys have went to the banquet?
No, there was one up in Philly that we attended a couple years ago. We had a couple walks at that one, but nothing like what we got coming up. So
no kidding. So you guys have team of the year. Where did you finish in the four categories, Dan?
You're going to test my memory here. I know we got the first. I think we ended up fifth in chicken, second in ribs, third in pork, and I think 16th in brisket.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. And the one thing for you guys that are FBA cooks, and Rub, I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek, believe it or not, the KCBS actually pays these guys for finishing Team of the Year and top 20 in categories. Isn't that right, Dan?
Well, we'll find out. That's the rumor. I think I've got a $200 check before from a couple years ago. You know, I don't even know what the payouts are, to be honest. I think they were posted in the bullshit a couple years back.
No, but I think that's interesting because, I mean, obviously you guys, I think my number was 31 contests maybe I counted?
I think it was 33 for us.
33.
By my count, but there might have been a non-sanctioned comp or two in my tally.
Dude, that's absolutely amazing. And one of the questions I had for you is, you know, obviously I want to say I think we talked to you before, kind of early on in the season, and I there's a number in mind you had told me somewhere like between – 16 and 20 maybe, or maybe it was when we talked to Pigfest. Was that kind of the initial plan, was to do somewhere in that area of contest?
I think we were somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 initially.
Okay.
I mean, and that's without traveling very far. I mean, most of the comps around here are just blowing up around here, so we don't have to try hard to do that. And then we got into this where we sniffed the auto for number 7 for the Jack, and we added a couple competitions to do that. Then all of a sudden we look at the rankings and we realize that we're actually within striking range of Team of the Year, so we added some more comps after that. And, you know, if anyone wants to be inspired, munching hogs at the Hilton on your butt going through this process will do that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, because that guy's been around it enough times to know what it takes to win a Team of the Year.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, he was really closing hard. I mean, he did a really good job, and he's a hell of a nice guy. I had a chance to meet him down in Georgia this year for the first time.
Well, I'm kind of looking at it here, and I want to make sure, because the amazing thing to me, too, is it looks like you guys cooked Pigfest and then didn't cook again until Pork in the Park. Is that right?
We did a non-sanctioned competition in there, Gavin Ellis
okay.
in Maryland. So it was a full four-meat contest, but it wasn't KCBS-sanctioned. It was Mid-Atlantic Barbecue Association-sanctioned.
Understood. Yeah, it was... I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, so with Sal's, I mean, really, if you think about it, that's not really getting cranked up until April-ish. If I remember right, I want to say Salisbury's like middle of April.
We ended up with 11 grand championships, and we didn't hit the first one until, I think, the end of June.
Beltway, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. But then, I mean, if you look at it, you went on a tear. I mean, you had 5 of the 6 contests you went to, starting with Beltway, you won, and the one you didn't, you finished third.
Yeah, I know. We were slacking at that one.
No,
actually, that was one heck of a surprise.
Big Ugly got in the adult beverages too quickly at that one, or what?
No, it was a big contest. There was about 70 teams at that one, and we had gotten one call, and really, I didn't even want to look at the sheet. I went up and I did all my congratulations to everybody that won. I was walking back and just kind of in passing, you know, one eye open, kind of looked at the sheet and found that we finished third. So we were actually ecstatic.
Absolutely. So Rub, while we've got you here, I mean, you're not coming off a bad season yourself in 2012. You know, I mean, you obviously make the trip out to Bentonville. You know, you have a great FBA year. Kind of how would you sum your year up?
I had a good strong finish. It was kind of hit and miss in the beginning, and finally I got everything clicking again right around I don't know, maybe June, July, or August. I guess it's probably August. I don't know. But anyway, things started coming together well for me, and it's still going pretty good. I really didn't want the Christmas break to come up. You know, that put me off 3 weeks, and I tell you, this last contest, I felt like a bull in a china shop. I was just, nothing was going smoothly for me.
I know, and every time you say that, you end up winning Grand or Reserve.
Yeah. I'm not sandbagging myself, but it was really a challenge. I worked my butt off to get stuff to come out halfway decent. So it was a good challenge. I was nervous.
Well, I think, you know, from folks that have heard you on the show before, they know kind of 2012 was kind of a year where the work reins tightened a little bit, so it made you miss, you know, some of the contests. But, I mean, if you look back over the FBA Team of the Year rankings, you finished third, you know, Dana wins it. But, you know, you finish 81 points off the pace, but you cooked six less contests. You know, that's not taking anything away from Dana or Terry at all. But, you know, to cook 18 and be, you know, and be right there in it, it's you know, a lot to be said there.
Yeah, I was real happy with that. I mean, it's anytime you can be in the same breath as our good friends Dana and Terry, that's a good thing. So I was honored. I was happy.
So kind of looking back, I mean, obviously, I mean, if you just look at just the numbers, you know, and it's not a surprise. I mean, you've won the Jack Daniel's World Championship in Pork, but it's your highest point category for 2012. You know, did you always feel like that was the one category you could lean on each contest?
No, actually, I haven't gone back and looked and seen how my categories panned out, but. You know, everything, that was part of my problem this year up until recently was just getting everything hitting at the same time.
Yep.
And getting my consistency back. It was eluding me for a while, and I finally realized what I was doing wrong, and went back and changed some things and went back to reading my notes and taking notes, and that really helped straighten things out. But, you know, I really didn't have anything that I felt like I could lean on this year. It was all kind of up in the air.
Well, just because I have it at my fingertips, I'll tell you. Pork, you wrangled up 105 points there. Chicken was your second best, 93. Brisket, third, 81. And ribs, fourth, 79. You know, once again, not a bad tally, you know, at all. But it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, yeah, you've won the world championship in pork. But, you know, the two categories I always expect to hear your name called in are ribs and brisket. And for those to be third and fourth, it's kind of a little bit of a shocker, but it's not like it's a huge drop-off.
Yeah, it's, you know, like I said, it's weird. I used to, you know, if you would ask me the same question a year or two ago, I'd say, oh, you know, definitely brisket and ribs are, I don't want to say money, but, you know, that's what I count on. And my brisket just fell off for a while, and it's still challenging me right now. I don't think I've cooked a brisket that I'm as happy with as I should be for months now. I don't know what's going on, but it's been a challenge. Ribs, I don't know if any. I'd be curious to hear if other people are having a hard time finding good ribs.
It's been a bit of a challenge. I mean, what you know, we were cooking backs for a while, so I'd kind of been out of the spares in St. Louis game. And my best luck lately on finding good ribs has been over at Restaurant Depot on the already cut St. Louis, so they're going to cost you a little bit more. Mm. But it seems to have the marbling, the size, and consistency, you know, that way. Or, you know, we've had a little bit of luck with our guy over in Tampa, Master Purveyors, here more recently, that's been able to find us some stuff that looks good. And then for you, too, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you've got a nice little meat connection over there at Max. And so, you know, those guys are looking through the case for you and this and that. And when you can't find good product throughout multiple cases, you kind of got they're left scratching your head a little bit.
Yeah, it gets frustrating. And I definitely love the guys at Max. And I'd rather I would rather cook a slightly subpar rack of ribs from Max than go over to Restaurant Depot, although they're not my, I don't dislike them as much as I like Walmart or whatever. But, you got to watch out for the little guys.
Absolutely.
So I try to stay pretty loyal to them as much as I can. But, yeah. I mean, they're just awesome with me. I can't say enough good things about those guys. We've been teamed up for close to 10 years now, and, they're just the best.
It's always great. When you got to...
Yeah, I mean, in my class, I encourage anybody, if they have a chance at all, to create a relationship with your butcher and, build that, and it'll pay you back so many more times.
Absolutely. Dan, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about a pretty damn interesting thing you guys got to do this year, and that was the first year that Big Papa's Smokers did their invitational out there in California. I've talked to a few folks that went. Would love to kind of hear your firsthand account of it. From what I hear, is it was a barbecue competition like no other.
Yeah. I mean, I've paid good money to go to really nice places on vacation, and they weren't as good as where we were set up competing. First of all, I mean, the scenery, the location, the facilities were absolutely outstanding. Sterling went over the top. I mean, everything was branded. Everything was set up for us. No one could really believe where we were going to be competing. I mean, if a leaf fell, someone was there cleaning it up, and we kind of felt bad about setting up the next morning. The food was fantastic. They fed us Thursday night. They fed us breakfast on Friday, lunch, dinner, and then after a reception on Saturday. There isn't a single thing, critique-wise, that I would change about the contest. And for a first-time event, I mean, I don't know how to say it any better. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and just kind of following it, you know, via Facebook, it was all the way down to, you know, the gift baskets and the things that you guys got. I thought the pretty interesting touch was the beautiful night that you guys got sent, kind of as your invitation.
That was great.
I mean, everything was just first class, and I was really, really impressed with it.
Yeah, I challenged Sterling, and he kind of laughed. I said, I didn't think he could even beat his own contest. And he said, reverse psychology didn't work on him. I said, I had to try. Because he's got to do it again. I mean, and, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, want to go and do that contest. And I really don't know what his plans were for this year coming up. He kind of said something about maybe doing multiple competitions, but I haven't heard anything since then about that. So I don't know if he's keeping it quiet. I don't know if he's or what he's thinking right now, but definitely be a good person to ask about what his plans are this year.
Very, very interesting. We may just have to do that, because I know for a first year event, it probably grabbed more people's attention than anything else. Dan, one of the questions in chat is, did you guys drive all the way out there? I don't think you did. You flew out there, and didn't you fly out there?
I had to fly out there. I mean, if you look at the continental United States. And where that competition is and where I live, it's pretty much the furthest point you can get unless you live somewhere in Maine. So I don't have that kind of time, especially after taking 32 competitions Fridays off to do that. So we went ahead and flew, and that was another challenge. We had to cook on borrowed equipment again, which adds another variable in there. IAB 30 hooked us up, and Tom Emery with equipment, and we thank them very much for that. And also Flawboys hooked us up with a couple grill grates. Without that, we would have had a lot more trouble.
So what did you think about the format? You know, obviously no temp pit control devices. You know, the meet. You know you didn't get pre-selected. You got a number and you got the number of that cooler, and obviously Sterling did as good a job to level the playing field when it came to meet. But how did you like that format? Was it something you were kind of a fan of?
Yeah, no complaints. You know, I've said before, you know, people that are against or they're purists or are against this or against that. If you had a contest where, you know, you had to just use a crock pot, I'm on board. I like a challenge.
Yep.
So as long as everyone's got the same, as long as everybody's got the same rules and everything's clearly spelled out, it's awesome with me. And Sterling issued the rules, and the last one was awesome. I had a laugh sitting in an office by myself when I read it, said no whining, and he meant it. You know, he put everything together perfectly. Don't whine, just get the job done, and that's what everyone did. But the format was interesting. It's the first time I didn't use garnish in the boxes, and that was one heck of a challenge. Do you guys do that in FBA?
Man, we don't believe in garnish, brother.
Yeah, you know, I kind of liked it. You had to be super clean about how you built your box, and we had plenty of time to think about it beforehand and how we were going to do it. And it worked. I mean, it was just sitting a little different in the box, but it was a challenge to make sure things didn't slide as much when your box is traveling. But I definitely like that. I do like my barbecue gurus. You know, that's my go-to device for getting some sleep at night, so we had to have someone watch the fire. But, you know, other than that, I like the format.
Dan, I don't know if you saw it or not in the rules for Lakeland Pig Fest, but they've crossed out garnish this year. You got to go with the FBA style box.
Fantastic, no problem.
All right, good.
Oh, I like that, Rob. Trying to give us hometown boys a little bit of advantage over the reigning champs.
We got to have whatever we can get, brother.
Dude, hey, I got a feeling we're gonna need it.
Yep.
We didn't do so good down there last year. Just like Rob was saying, you know, we haven't cooked now, and it'll be 4 weeks, and we'll be at Bull and China Shop down there as well. And Rob's got by himself; he's got plenty of space to move. Chris and I just bump into each other, so it'll be. What's that, Rob?
I said you guys are both like ballerinas. I don't see that happening.
Well, we're rusty now, though.
Okay.
When are you guys getting down, Dan? You guys getting down on Thursday?
Yeah, I think Chris will be down Thursday morning. I'm getting down there Thursday afternoon, evening. And then just a quick hit. We're in and out of there. So we'll be leaving right after awards on Saturday.
Nice. Sounds good, man. Look forward to having you all down. We plan on hosting the Low Country Boil again on Thursday night. So you guys make sure and come on by the spot and have a drink with us and grab a little dinner.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, Rob, we're even going to extend the invitation to you.
Damn it. You know what? I'm going to actually take the day off of work on Friday. That'll be a first for me in a long time. So,
oh, wow.
I'm going to do my best to take you up on that, brother.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to it. I'm taking Thursday and Friday off from work. We are going to still vend because we kind of made a commitment to Kids Pack to do it to help raise some money for them. They're going to provide the volunteers. We're going to cook and the majority of our proceeds are going towards them. So we kind of already signed up for that. So we'll be doing a ton of cooking on Thursday and Friday. So it's going to be nice to have the 2 days off and not have to worry about conference calls and board meetings and all that mess like I had to last year on that Friday.
Absolutely.
So definitely makes life a little bit easier.
Man, it must be nice. I take a day off and I still deal with conference calls.
Man, I usually that's the way I operate, Dan, but I've been pretty staunch about this. I'm like, look, man, I do a lot of calls on days off or days at contest, and you know, you guys got to give me these two. I'm just may even just turn the damn phone off and just not even leave it as an option.
There you go.
So, also one of the benefits of working for a French company, they're already 6 hours ahead. So, as long as you can endure the storm by noon, usually they're out of your hair.
I did not know you worked for a French company.
I did. It's a whole other level, man. Who would have thought? Who would have thought when they were looking at their profile for director of sales for North and South America that they'd pick a redneck? But somehow we all get along, man.
That's funny. That's awesome.
So getting back over to you, Rob. You know, obviously, give us a little bit of what you guys have planned with the class coming on. I know that. You know, I know that that you've taught many a class in the past, and a lot of guys have had some success. Dan, I know you guys have done some things up in the Northeast, but kind of how did this come up? I mean, how did it come up that you guys said, hey, let's kind of do a super class between the two of us?
Well, you put it over to Rub. We'll let Rub go with it.
Yeah, Dan got in touch with me asking about it, and I thought, you know what, this sounds like a pretty good idea. You know, they had come and taken my class when I was up in their neck of the woods up in Maryland, and got to know the guys pretty good and had a blast with them, and, you know, I didn't see any reason why we shouldn't, and this was probably around the beginning or the middle of his reign of terror last year, and then... you know, it just continued on. I thought, well, yeah, this is really a good idea. So, you know, we've been doing a lot of communicating back and forth with texts and emails and stuff, and still have a lot of details to work out. But it's going to be quite big. You know, we're doing it right there at the beautiful location of Smoke on the Water. And I think it'll be just the weekend after Smoke on the Water. So there will still be... you know, it'll still be in good shape. And we're going to have a big tent just in case, you know, there's inclement weather. We've got Marty and Karen Hyde, master judges, and judge trainers and several, oh, gosh, I know they are in FBA. I'm sure they're master judges in KCBS. I know they also do on-site judging in MIM or MBN. So they got a ton of experience, and he helped with a class of mine in Venice Board, and that went over really well. You know, on the turn-in morning, we would turn in, and he would critique the box with the class listening, and we also had some celebrity judges who were there learning and stuff like that. So it was a great, you know, give and take feedback, and learned a lot. You know, shed a lot of great insight on stuff that you might not necessarily think of as a team. And, you know, he's not afraid to point out a shortcoming here or there either. It's all about being truthful and getting the correct information out there. You know, when you do a class, you're always praying to goodness, to God, that everything comes out right. It's your reputation and your pride on the line. But it doesn't always happen that way. You know, sometimes things happen. So, I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have great food. We're going to have, you know, the venue is beautiful. We're going to have some electronics to make sure everybody can hear and see. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent. That sounds good. And, Dan, how about you? I mean, I know you guys have done some I don't know. Have you guys ever done, like, a full competition class? Or I know you've done a lot of classes where – maybe more, not don't mean this in a back way, bad way, because I do them pretty regular, more of kind of a backyard class. Or have you guys done a full, have you guys taught a full competition class?
Well, I'll give you a typical Dan answer, yes. You know, we've kind of done a little bit of everything, but we haven't done anything full competition-wise on this scale, which is why I didn't want to just throw all my eggs in one basket and decide that, even though I've never done it before, that I know everything about doing this. You know, I've been to Rub's class. I know the quality of class that Rub puts on, and I've learned a lot from his class. So I thought that was an excellent starting point right there. And then to go in with Rub was fantastic and quite an honor. I mean, I was glad to do that with him. So we're bringing what we do and merging it with Rub's class and how he does things, and that's awesome for us. So we know there's already a product out there that works, and we're bringing ours to the table as well. And Rob and I talking, everything's not identical. I mean, as you would expect from two different cooks. I'm pretty cooker specific. I cook on WSMs, and I cook on Backwoods, and that's it. Rob brings a lot more to the table with different smokers and different ways of cooking. The way we trim, people, when they watch me at the class, will see little bits of information I've picked up from Rub, which is kind of neat. And then you'll see what I've learned from others. I've taken other classes before. I've taken IQ's class. I've taken I Smell Smoke's class. So I take a little bit out of all those classes that I've been to as well, add it to my style, and out comes our product. The other thing that we bring to the table is It's usually Chris and I, me, Chris, and Eric. My wife helps out at the competitions where, you know, Rupp has some help, but he's pretty much a one-man show, if I understand that correctly.
I would not agree with that. I would say Woody definitely, Rupp does not like to give Woody credit where credit is due, but I would say Rupp's usually a two-man team.
Yeah, that's a bit of an inside joke, but yeah, no, not at all.
No, I'm just kidding, Danny. He, yeah, but most definitely so. So there'll be a little compare and contrast there on how, you know, a one guy team compared to how three guys kind of split the duties and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, Rupp kind of made a joke that we're, you know, ballerinas, but it's not too far off from the truth. I mean, we work in a small trailer. So we know where each and every one's going before they get there. So we don't bump into each other a lot when we're on our game. We're just always moving around each other, and we're setting things up where the other person needs them. And things are either on the cooker cooking, or they're done resting, or they're in the box, period. There's not a lot of transition time, keeping smoker doors open. And it's all about efficiency. It's all about the process. So that's what I preach.
No, absolutely, and I think it's gonna be a great class. Now, I looked at your site, Rub, and I saw March 8th and 9th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So March 8th and 9th, Winter Haven, $750. I'm sure that thing's filling up. You guys still doing okay with space?
Yeah, we are. I'd say we're probably, you know, we don't have a definite cutoff number. We're going to be flexible there, but we want to keep it small enough to where we can move around and you've been to my class. Everybody's within arm reach of me, and we want to keep it close to that. I mean, we're looking probably at 40 or 50 topping it off, and we're halfway there or more right now, which 2 months out, I'm tickled to death about that.
Sure.
In the past, I've noticed these things tend to fill up quickest, kind of like a barbecue contest does the last, I don't want to say 2 or 3 weeks, but months anyway. So, I think it's going beautifully, and it's going to be a heck of a class. I'm excited to be there.
Absolutely. Real quick, guys, we're going to do the Barbecue Superstore in celebration of 3i's 2012 KCBS Team of the Year is donating a one-pound bag of 3i's barbecue rub, and we're going to give it to the first caller that can tell me. And if you go over to compbbq.com and use their new scorecard feature, you're going to be able to find this quicker than you may think. I want to know, at the Harvard Fall Festival this year, barbecue contest in Harvard, Massachusetts, what did 3i's finish in ribs? Dan may not even be able to tell you that. But I'm over here at compbbq.com, and I'm looking at the scorecard. And so the first person to call in and tell me where 3i's finished in ribs at the Harvard Fall Festival Barbecue Contest is going to win that bag of rub. You got to call in, and Moody Q, you're wrong, so it wouldn't have counted anyway if you were in chat. All right, so with that being said, Dan, have you noticed the rub sales pick up a whole bunch since you guys had a string of success?
Yes, and this has been the slow time of the year historically. Usually it picks up in February. And I'm already seeing it pick up, which we're ramping up our orders in preparation for that already. So, yeah, it's been phenomenal.
It's very good, and you know, obviously, I mean, we've been a user of 3i's, you know, since it got introduced to us at Rob's class. It's just, I tell people all the time, to me, it's just a great rub that, you know, it's well balanced. It's great as far as color enhancement and what it does for the product. But it's just, you know, you listen to guys like yourself and Rub and Jimmy Brode and people that say, hey, you're trying to cook good average barbecue, and that's the perfect rub for it. Real quick, 706. Who we got here?
We got Mitchell.
Mitchell, do you have that place for me at the Harvard Fall Festival in ribs, 3i's?
That would be second place.
That'd be second place. Did you go over to Comp Barbecue and use the scorecard feature?
That is correct.
Absolutely, man. Sounds great. Do me a favor. Send me your shipping details to whiskeybentbbq@gmail.com. I'll get that over to Richard and Mark, and they'll have that 1 pound three eyes heading out to you before you know it.
Good deal. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks for listening to the show, Mitchell. All right, there we go. Just that quick.
We got
a winner. So you did remember it?
I didn't remember that. No, you had me walking around looking at all my trophies. I appreciate that.
I
didn't have Comp Barbecue close enough at hand. But I did look at that site, and I am pretty impressed with it.
No, I think it's great what's standing them over there doing, not only with the contest registration, but what they're trying to do with scorecard is pretty cool, too. I mean, that kind of one-stop shop to kind of see where you're at. And I know for me it's great just doing show prep to be able to plug in there and boom, just see right there, you know, what you guys have done, where you've been. It makes things a whole heck of a lot easier.
Now, how fast is that updating? Is that updating out the KCBS results sheet?
Yes, I believe they've got almost a kind of a live feed into the KCBS backend, kind of where they're dumping that into their database. And I believe it's I saw for you guys where it had the Big Papa's information. It'd be interesting. While we're chatting, I may plug in here one of the teams that cooked out west this weekend and see if it's showing for them. But yeah, it's really 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 quick, and I think with what they're trying to do and make it that kind of one-stop shop for barbecue information, whether it be contest or results, I think it's a pretty smart decision. All right, with that being said, a couple of the other things I wanted to hit with you guys is Sam's Club. Obviously, are both of you guys going to be by your computer tomorrow night, ready to get signed up?
Yes, sir. I can speak from my end. Last year, we officially didn't do it. If you look at the standings, Three Eyes Barbecue was not in Sam's Club.
Yep.
And that was, I caught the end of Mike's talking. I mean, it's the same thing. There were a lot of conflicts. There's a lot of conflicts this year, and I think I might have figured out a solution.
Excellent. So who what was the Three Eyes heavy that did compete in Sam's Club this year?
Yeah, that's a funny story. It was meant to be, it was a split because there was the Laurel competition and there was the Hedgesville competition that Mike was talking about, and it was the same day. So originally it was just going to be Chris and I, who are the heaviest of Three Eyes, go do Laurel, and then Eric and Dan McGrath were going to do Hedgesville. But I forget if it was the Jack Daniels auto or if it was the team of the year thinking, but it made more sense to do it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up with a team name that didn't necessarily fit, but we went with it anyway.
So we had Three Eyes Thin. So Three Eyes
exactly.
Thin was really Three Eyes Heavy.
Three Eyes supposed to be heavy, now thin. Exactly.
Okay. I got it.
You can't have the same team name because they were both Friday-Saturday competitions. If it had been a Friday-Saturday, Saturday-Sunday, it wouldn't have been an issue.
Right. Absolutely. Just to answer your question real quick about the compbbq.com, it does look like, because I just pulled up Rooftop Barbecue that cooked the two contest out there this weekend in KCBS, and sure as hell it's updated. So pretty sweet to not have that that downtime of actually someone kind of having to manually manipulate it into a database. Very cool. Rob, how about you, man? You going to be ready? You going to be signed up? See you in Tampa?
You know, honest to goodness, I'm not sure. I was. And,
I like that answer.
I wasn't. I definitely had a blast this past year, this year. I had a fun at each contest. The only thing that turns me off from it a little bit is the traveling distance.
Right.
There's nothing about the contest themselves or the organization or anything like that. I really enjoyed myself in all aspects. But, getting out to Hendersonville, Tennessee is a 12, 13-hour drive each way. And
come on, Rob. You can travel outside of Florida.
And then if you should get lucky enough to go on to Bentonville, I believe that's, about a 23-hour drive each way. And I flew it last year, and it still took me almost 23 hours. So it was, I don't know. I'm kind of hemming and hawing. I've got a definite goal for this season, and I'm kind of, I don't know. That's not one of my heavy goals right now. Honest to God, I don't know. I'm up in the air.
Well, I'll tell you, I would hate to not see you there. But I mean, you got bigger fish to fry, man. I mean, you're knocking on the doorstep of 7 grand. Yeah, you got to save that time to go back to the Jack again this year, you know.
Yeah, that's my goal. I'm 2 away from it right now, and you know, I'm I don't know, I'm kind of concentrating on that.
Well, I figure with just you taking Dan's class, you're going to pick up 2.
I know, right? Money.
Now, one of the interesting things, Rub, I see out of this is I think that Tampa one's going to fill up pretty quick. You know, last year, you know, we had the Tampa and the Ocala down here in Florida. And you know, this year there's just one in Florida, which I think was a good decision because I don't think either of the Florida ones got, you know, the full 30 teams. So, I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm not knocking it. And I think you're going to see that in this whole kind of region one because there's one in Alabama and there's one in Georgia and, you know, one in South Carolina, one in Tennessee. I think it's going to be a pretty sure thing that all five of those fill up at 30 probably relatively quickly. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we had some out-of-staters coming down to help fill that. So it's going to be something. It'll be interesting. You know, talking about it now, it's going to make me want to get on the phone tomorrow. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know I had to I had forgot that I had let my KCBS membership lap a bit. So I got on there yesterday and finally got all signed up and ready to go. So we'll definitely be signing up for it. Try our hand at it. We've had pretty poor showings the first 2 years of the local, but to us, I mean, you know, hey, if we sign up, we'll sign up, and if we're fortunate enough to run out of the top 6, then we'll kind of worry about crossing that bridge when we get there, because based off history, hasn't been any reason to leave those dates open. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm with you. My first 2 years for it, I believe, I don't know, was there 3 years? Anyway, yeah, it was a challenge. I didn't get out of the starting blocks, so hey, you can't. Don't ever take anything for granted.
No, absolutely not. So, Dan, yourself, as far as the rest of your year after Pig Fest and signing up for Sam's Club, what's on the radar? What are you guys focused on? What do you guys have on the schedule?
Well, you know, unlike Rob, I mean, I don't really have a goal set. I mean, the goal is to do the best at every competition we sign up, and it's really a simple formula for me if I break it down like that. But I mean, if you look at the schedule-wise, we're just going to hit everything within range and then a couple of traveling competitions. But, you know, that said, that's pretty much competing every week now. I don't know how many competitions there are in Virginia now, but there used to be only 2 or 3. Now it's probably closer to 8 or 9. The same for Maryland. Delaware's adding competitions. There's still only one in West Virginia, which makes it an auto. But there's like 8 in Pennsylvania. So we can stay in the Mid-Atlantic and stay very, very busy.
Excellent. So you think that'll put you around that 20 again?
I'd say right now we're looking at probably 24.
Okay.
And if we have any reason to add later on in the year, we would certainly do that. I don't know that I'd be crying if we didn't have to add. I mean, that was one of the most difficult things I did the tail end of the year with working a full-time job and traveling down to Georgia and out to California and back every week. That was very difficult. And I have mad respect for people that have done that in the past. That's a lot of competitions. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those things, kind of be careful what you wish for kind of deals?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I wasn't even – you know, team of the year was always something that was out there, and I had actually given up hope that we could even do it at the beginning of last year, which is funny that we actually did it. Because I figured that we had to do 40, 45 competitions in order to get enough grands to actually compete. And it turned out that we had a hot enough run and we didn't have to do that many competitions. But one can't expect to do that again. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime type thing. We certainly would like to do it again, but you know, that's our goal is just to do each competition one day at a time. And we're just going to try and hit as many as we can close to home.
Absolutely, no. I mean, that sounds like a good plan and a good strategy. Going forward, obviously, you don't want to get the cart too far ahead of the horse. Dan, real quick, if you don't mind, since you were in the team of the year race, can you give kind of the basic overview of how Team of the Year is calculated as far as, you know, not you know, this points translate to this because there's max point contests and this and that, but and I'm not real abreast of it, but the way I understand is it's really your top 10 results, correct?
It is your top 10 results, and to break it down as simple as possible, I think, a perfect score would be a grand championship win in a 50-team field. You get no bonus points for over 50, and you get, technically you don't get penalized, you just don't get as many points as if you don't have 50 teams.
But, and so that's the same for overall and the four categories?
Yes, yeah, so perfection would be 10 50-team contest wins that you can't, all you could do is tie someone if they did that. So it makes for some interesting scenarios late in the season. I'll give you just one of them. Munch and Hogs in Calhoun, Georgia, needed 42 teams or more to pass us and the win in order to pass us by 1 point. I don't even know exactly how many teams we needed to gain the lead, but it did us no good to compete and win in, say, a 25-team event. I mean, it did for the Jack and towards an auto, but it gave us nothing towards Team of the Year. So we had grands that didn't really do anything for us. So it's definitely a very interesting system and frustrating at times.
Well, I mean, but that's really interesting because if the contest isn't big enough and you've already got some of those smaller grands, then it's really not worth going and doing from an overall point of view. That's, I can see how you say that that gets a little strategic towards the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, we tried not to get caught up in that.
Right.
There was one, just like Mike Richter was saying, with local competitions. There was a competition trying to get started in Clarksburg, Maryland. It was their first year sanctioned. It's in our backyard. We did it. We ended up winning, but we knew that even if we won, it wouldn't have mattered towards Team of the Year. But it was hard to not do a competition that was 20 minutes away to try and do a contest that was 12 hours away that had 50 teams. And those are the decisions you have to make. You know, are you going for what's close to home, or are you taking that big, big chance, going that far distance, spending all that money, chasing something that you might not even be able to achieve?
Understood. One of the last things I want to hit with you before we both wrap up is, dude, tell me about this new cooler sponsor you guys got. Looks like a pretty robust coolers.
Oh, yeah, they look awesome. I haven't received them yet. I mean, this is hot off the press. But, you know, I was approached by Grizzly Coolers. I've seen them before. I mean, they're beasts. I mean, these things are built like tanks. I'm getting three coolers from them, and I can't wait to get using those. You'll see them. I mean, that'll be the only cooler we're using this season. So
excellent.
Really, really looking forward to it.
That's really cool. Definitely going to check those out. Hopefully you got them in Lakeland, you know, because obviously, you know, having a nice cooler constructed like that that holds ice well, and obviously your meats and everything else, and obviously adult beverages. You know, when you have something nice like that, can it really cut down on your ice bill and just the headache trying to find ice on some of those hot summer contests?
Oh, yeah, that was funny, too, towards the end of the year, how little ice we used compared to competing in July.
Sure.
And some of them, we didn't have to ever refill our ice.
Exactly. That's always a nice thing.
When we
wrap up with you, Dan, before we go over to Rub, anybody else you want to thank from a sponsor point of view or make the listeners aware of?
Fab. You know, we couldn't have had last year without Fab. Barbecue Equipment Store. Grizzly Coolers. I mean, Barbecue Guru, of course, without mention. I talked about them earlier. I mean, I thank each and every one of our sponsors. You guys are fantastic.
Excellent. Well, Dan, thanks so much for the time and coming on tonight. I definitely appreciate it. And Rub, with you, what do we got to finish up with you, man? Who you want to thank, and what do we got coming up with you?
Well, I want to ask Dan if one of his Grizzly coolers gets stolen in Lakeland, do you suppose they'd give him another one later on?
We can talk about that.
Okay, yeah, check with him and see what that's all about.
we'll have to have a competition to see if you can actually break into one first, though.
Okay, I'm in. Yeah, well, one of my sponsors, I don't know if you know this or not, is Three Eyes Barbecue. I like those guys. They got a fantastic grub. You may have heard of it. It won a lot this past year. of course, we've also got Butcher's Barbecue. It's funny, Dan has, we have, not, well, competing injection companies, but that makes it real interesting. Of course, Barbecuers Delight. And I picked up a new sponsor just yesterday, Wicked Q. I don't know if you know.
Absolutely, Jeff. He's been on the show.
Yeah. He's got a great line of products, and I'm a user of his products. And so we picked him up yesterday. And then, of course, I can't ignore Yoder Smokers. Those have been fantastic, and I'm excited. I got another Christmas coming up here pretty soon. They're going to be sending me one of the brand-new 1320 pellet smokers. I'm not sure when I'm going to get it, but I hope it's soon. I'm ready to start cooking on that bad boy.
Awesome. I can't wait to check that out. Rub, once again, thanks for the time, and I'll see you this weekend, my friend.
Hey, Chad, one more.
Yeah, Brad, go ahead. Or Dan, go ahead.
One more. First Mariner Mortgage, can't forget about Jeff Gay. Licensed in all 50 states for mortgages, so if anyone needs any help, his link's on my website.
Excellent.
He's helped us out a lot last year, and he may be down in Lakeland, definitely at the banquet with us as well.
Cool. Awesome. Rub, anything else?
That's it. You're the best.
Hey, brother, I always enjoy it, man, and we'll see you on Friday.
All right, looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, guys, and Dan, we'll see you at the end of the month. Safe travels down here into the banquet.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy, take care.
Bye.
See you soon,
bye-bye.
Dan.
All right, guys, two of the best pitmasters in the country right now, Dan Hickson, Three Eyes Barbecue, Rob Bagby, Swamp Boys. Great show tonight. Appreciate all you guys listening. Next week, we're locking down a couple of guests. But until then, keep the pit lit.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Belt a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit. Outlaw Barbecue Show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and second. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.